First off, before I begin, I would just like to say it's good to be back. It's crazy to think about the fact that I've already been home a month. It's amazing how much faster time goes when you're among so many people that you love. And I love every one of you, and I know you guys love me. Having said that, I want to make it very clear. What we're going to talk about tonight is not directed at any one person. It's not directed at any group of people except for one group, and that's everybody. And everybody includes me, too. And in preparing for tonight, I had about three or four different ideas going, and they all kind of just converged into one. So instead of having to choose what to preach about, I really only had one option. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you'd like, turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. It's probably something that you're familiar with. We've read this passage time and time again. But we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be starting in verse 12. But while you're turning there, I want to ask you something. What does it mean to value something? What does that mean? If I say something's valuable to me, what does it mean? This water bottle, as tiny and useless as it is not very valuable to me. After a long day of work in the summertime, suddenly, that might be very valuable. What changed? What changed? So think about that here for just a minute. But let's read. Starting in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. We'll stop there. We might continue on later, depending on how our time goes. What's the common point that's made from this passage? The point's often made that we're not all the same. You know, and just because I'm not Scott doesn't mean I'm not a valuable part of this group. Just because someone's not like me doesn't mean they're not a valuable part of this group. That's true. It's 100% true. It's a good point. But let's flip it around a little bit. What if I said, because people aren't me, they're not as valuable. I don't value them. We don't share the same concerns. We don't have the same strength. We don't have the same abilities, interests. Fill in the blank. Does that make them less valuable than I am? And I think if we are honest with ourselves, every one of us in this room, I know I definitely have, I'm guilty of this. We've all subconsciously, maybe consciously, but at least subconsciously, thought along that line. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Do we value each other? I would go ahead and say, I think we do, for the most part, quite well. Brother Lockwood made a comment in class a week or so ago about how he appreciates that though there are people in this group that disagree about various things, we still love each other. And thank God for that. If you've ever been in a group that's not true, you see how terrible and damaging that is. So we're going to talk about that. So, we already kind of talked about the value is perspective. Someone might value something to me. We'll use a perfect example of this. Jacob and I were talking about this the other day. Cars. What Jacob finds valuable in a car is not the same thing that I find valuable in a car. Which one's right? Well, I am. No, I'm kidding. Neither one of us are. Maybe we have different needs. Maybe we have different backgrounds that dictate, you know, well, my family,
traditionally has been a Toyota family, so I might think that Toyota is the brand to go. I don't, by the way. Jacob's more of a scientific, innovative type person, so he likes the fact that he has an electric car. There's only one problem with electric cars. They put me to sleep. I like V8 muscle. Does it save polar bears? No, it doesn't. But that's a superior car. But again, I'm not right. Jacob's not right. Does his car suit his needs? Yes. Does mine, the V8 that I don't have? Well, no, because I don't have it. But the cars that I can have suit my needs. So, again, we might disagree all day long, but we're not right or wrong necessarily. And I want us to look at two stories in the Bible that really show the difference. First off, we're going to look at the apostles. Look at Luke chapter 6. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I'm embarrassed to say it only hit me a couple years ago, maybe, I don't even know if it's that long, about how different the apostles were. And you know they did not always get along. I mean, even up until basically Jesus' death, they're arguing over who's the greatest. But in Luke chapter 6, we get a description of some of them. So in Luke 6, we'll read 12 through 16. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, that's being Jesus, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when the day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, Andrew his brother, and James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So when you read through that list, at first it doesn't really hit you. But let's think about this. What occupation did Peter and Andrew, James and John have? They're fishermen. Now, I like fishing. I know many of you do. Our brother Franz certainly did. But fishing as an occupation, especially in the first century, well, we'll put it this way. Mamas didn't want their boys growing up to be fishermen. That's not a respected job. It's necessary, but it's not a respected job. It's not like being a priest or a military leader or something like that, or a craftsman. And you're a fisherman. You smell like fish. But then think about this. Then you have Simon. Not Simon Peter, the other Simon. What's he called? Simon, he's called the Zealot. Whether that he was actually part of the Zealot party or that was his personality, I don't know. But I would say it's likely he was part of the Zealot sect of the Jews. What were the Zealots known for? What would we call them today? Political terrorists, maybe? Scott described it once in a sermon. If a Roman soldier was going down a dark alley at night by himself, he might not make it to the other side. That's what zealots were. Then we have Levi. What was Levi's occupation? Here's a big switch. Not only is he not neutral to Rome, he works for them as a tax collector. He collects the tax from the Jews, from his own countrymen, to give to Rome. And tax collectors were also known for their dishonesty. Can you think of a more different group of people? If I was Jesus and I was picking my apostles, my 12 apostles, I don't know if I would have picked any of them. But that's what Jesus picked. And if you look around this room, we're going to do this in just a minute, but start thinking this way. Look around this room. What are some of the differences we have? We have different races, different backgrounds, whether that means physical backgrounds, different spiritual backgrounds. Some were, quote unquote, like me, raised in the church, which has its own blessings and challenges. Some were not. Many were not. We have different socioeconomic statuses, which in this country isn't as important as in others, but it's still there. We have different education, just various things. Each one of us is different. We have different interests. Case in point, my brother and I. We're brothers. We have the same parents, but we're very different. So think about that. Let's turn to another passage, and that is the day of Pentecost. This is where it gets even stranger. Day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. You guys know this story as well. In Acts chapter 2, think about what's going on. So this is 50 days after Passover. Jews from all over have come to Jerusalem. And we'll start in... I'm going to cut that down a little bit. Start in verse 5. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. At the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them, that's the apostles, speaking their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all these were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking, saying they were filled with new wine. Now, we won't go on to continue the story, but you know the story. After they... You know, Peter preaches probably one of the most effective sermons in the history of sermons. What do they say? I say, well, what must we do? It says that 3,000 of them were baptized. So you think you have the church has started with 3,000 individuals from, it says, every nation under the sun. And we know later in Acts chapter 6, sometimes that caused problems. The Jewish widows were being taken care of better than the Greeks. And so our differences can create problems, but that doesn't mean that we're not valuable. Probably one of the passages that made me think about this the most. Excuse me. And is in Luke 18. You've heard this parable. Luke 18 is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And I think this is one that's easiest for us to do. To look down on someone that we think is somehow inferior to ourselves. So let's look at this. Look at the attitude that the Pharisee has here. Luke 18, and we'll start in verse 9. Help if I was in the right book. So Luke 18, verse 9. He also told a parable to some who were trusted in... He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. So pay attention right there. Who's he talking to? They trust in themselves that they're right and they treat others with contempt. So that's the background here. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. Now pay attention to the tax collector. Tax collector, standing afar off, will not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than any other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Think about this. How many times have you found yourself sitting in a sermon thinking, man, I really hope brother so-and-so is listening to this. I really wish sister so-and-so was here. Man, I wish I could tell so-and-so about this. What about us? Are we the ones that need to hear what's being taught? We all do. Do you look at somebody and one of your brothers and sisters and think, man, I wish they'd just get it together? Why do they keep having the same problem? Get your act together. Think how this Pharisee is looking at the tax collector. He's looking at him basically as a piece of trash, saying, God, I thank you, I'm not that. But think about what the tax collector is doing. He knows that he's the piece of trash. And he's come to the temple to pray, to beg God for forgiveness. Sometimes we look at our brothers and sisters and we think, man, I wish they'd just get that together. Maybe they know they need to. Maybe they need help. So instead of judging them and condemning them in our hearts, reach out to them and say, I want to help you. You can help me too. That's what brothers and sisters do. If you guys know my brother loves his sleep. If he's working, he goes to bed at 9 o'clock in the morning. I think he's about 40 years old. But the other month, I was having a terrible day. And I talked, and we talked, and we talked. And I looked at the clock, and I said, Bud, it's 10:30. You're working tomorrow. He said, that's fine. It's all right.
That's what brothers do. He didn't say, well, you need to get your act together.
You need to shape up. He said, let me help you. So think about it that way. Value one another. So that's really all I have on my notes. We're a little bit short, but I want us to do an exercise. I thought long and hard about this. I'm going to be quiet for about 30 seconds or a minute. What I don't want you to do is look at me. I want you to look around. Look around this room. Don't be afraid to make eye contact. That is okay, and it's encouraged. But if you've seen the movie, I don't remember what the title's called, about Mr. Rogers. I'm a 27-year-old man, and I like that movie. About teared up in it. One of the things he does in that movie, he's talking to a reporter who's kind of having a rough time with his family, with life. And he said, would you just sit with me and think about the people that got us to where we are today? So that's what I want you to do. But I don't want you to think about who got you here. I want you to think about who is here. Look around this room and think about where would you be right now without the people in this room? Not just about your family, not just about your friends, not just about your fishing buddies or your hunting buddies, but everybody in this room. So we'll take about 30 seconds. It might feel very long, but please do it. All right. Look around. Okay, that was 20 seconds, but that's all I'm going to be. Now, I saw a lot of parents looking at kids, making sure they were paying attention and stuff like that. But I hope you'll do that this week. That's my challenge to you this week. You know, this is a week that we often are thankful for our families. We get to spend time with our families. Hopefully you get days off. But this week I want you to think about not just presents, giving and receiving of presents, but I want you to think about day in and day out, what's more valuable? Is it the financial gifts that we give? Or is it the fact that we're each other's brothers and sisters? Because it's a scary world out there. You know, and if you talk with many people, it hit me. Most of the guys in prison, the reason they're there is because they didn't have anybody. They made stupid decisions, and they're responsible for that, but they didn't have anybody. Nobody in this room has that excuse. So you can't make that. So I know you get frustrated. I do too. We get frustrated with each other. Family members get frustrated with each other. I was just telling Mom and Dad last night, I think Samuel and I finally have a friendship. When we were younger, we probably didn't have that. He was a tech geek and I was not. Kind of got stuck in that one. But value one another. Remember, if this is what it takes to value somebody, and this is true for in this room and not, even if I don't value you and you don't value me, we should all value each other because God valued you at a price of his son's blood. Let that sink in. Now, we offer an invitation, and I'm terrible at these. But the invitation is that God did value you, does value you at the price of his son's blood. And if you haven't chosen to accept that gift, easy question. Why? What are you waiting for? Christmas time's coming. You won't get a better present. Ever. So think about that. If you've wandered away from the family of God, from the body of God, not only does God want you back, we want you back. We love you. We value you. If you need help in any way, come forward while we stand and sing.